I forgot to tell you on an announcement that I'll be gone next weekend. I'll be out of town, but I'll have Jason here. So we will resume, but I just want to give you a heads up. What's that? So anyways, and then the deacons meeting will be the following Sunday, and then the Lord's Supper on August 27th. So anyways, let's continue here. Why don't we open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for the second session that we have here. We pray for the continued concentrated study and also the faithfulness that we need to complete the application in our personal lives. We thank you so much, and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. So here we are talking about some very, I think the building blocks of any worship of God really starts with these things that we listed, starting with all the observances, what we saw here with Cain and Abel, and I think these point directly to what God desires of us. And then faith, just so many things that faith points to or means the characteristics of. And, you know, without these things in place, what is worship? That's the question. What is it? If it's not directed to honoring, respecting, reliant on, and obedient to the object and glorify Him, what is it? And that's a good question, because we have a tendency to take one or two of these out, and then it becomes something that is, you know, secondhand from man. So that can be neither here nor there. But anyways, so we saw that Martin Luther knew this idea very well. And he saw that what was happening, and there was things that were being risen over and above the authority of Scripture. And when we do that, we start getting into trouble. And I know you've probably been a part of a church split at one point or another in your life. And usually that starts from someone not agreeing with what was being said, or there'll be some kind of click or disagreement, I guess you could say, within the church about a doctrinal issue, and there will be a split. But and sometimes even a new church will be made, but they will have a different doctrinal statement than the one that they came from. So, you know, like I said, justified or not, the idea is still the same, that's how they're created. So the point we want to be careful is that man's agenda doesn't get over and above God's agenda. And that's an important point to remember. You know, if Cain would have accurately handled what God had given, accurately taken his word face value and taken it to mean what it meant and carried it out, guess what? We would have had uniformity in the worship. They would have been accepted. There would not have been any problems. There would have been no disobedience on the part of Cain. But, you know, that's part of this life that we live in. We do have a sin nature. We do have disagreements. We do have things that rub us the wrong way. I understand all that. But at the end of the day, don't get comfortable with being wrong. Don't get comfortable with being set in your ways just because you've learned something one way your whole life. You know, the way I see it, if the Word of God changes our theology, we should take that for what it is and change our theology. I can only believe what the Word of God dictates to me, right? And if I believe one way and I see something different coming from the Word of God, that should adjust what we believe in. And, you know, we don't see that a lot happening today. We don't see a lot of adjusting, because if we did, I think we would have another great awakening. There's no adjusting happening. Everyone's comfortable with what they believe, how they believe. I've been doing it this way forever. This is what I grew up in. My whole family was involved in this, and that's how it is. And that's where I'm going to stay. By golly. Well, you know what? If it's not truth, it's not truth. And we need to begin to recognize that we've got to bounce what we believe in off the truth. We've got to bounce it off the Word of God, and we have to make it a part of our lives. Because I do believe it is that adjustment as well in your personal life that does have something to do with being and walking in the Christian life. Because guess what? If we're not making those adjustments, there's a problem, right? Cain didn't want to make those adjustments. He was given something that God had given him. He knew what it was, but he didn't want to adjust with his standards, with his... And the problem that we'll see here in a little bit is there's a righteousness issue that's happening under the underlying the cover here. So, and that's an important point to remember as well. And I think we also saw what pleased God above all was the faith, the trust in Him that he had. And that's a major point when you're talking about religion and Christianity. Faith should gird any religion or faith or worship of God. Faith is what upholds your ability to move forward in the plan of God. And by faith, I mean trusting in the one, in your object, the object of your faith. So, and that's completely opposite, I'll tell you, of what at least we can see from Scripture. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but there's not one place in Scripture that paints a good picture of religion. Not one. Every man-made religion in Scripture is not a good thing. At least according to the examples that we have. And I would think that God, if he, you know, condoned or sponsored these man-made religions, that he would put them in a good light, at least somewhere in Scripture. But he doesn't. So we need to take that to heart, because what we see in Scripture is that religion is looking to please God. But it's looking to please God through man's works, through something that man can do. And guess what? God isn't looking for that. He's not looking for what you can give him. He's looking for what he can give you, and then taking that and using that toward him. We can't give him anything. All we can give him is a sin nature. We've got sin. We've got bad decisions. We've got all this bad stuff, but he can give us something. He can give us something to work with to where we make us acceptable to be a part of his plan. Guess what? You were accepted at the moment you expressed faith in Jesus Christ. You believed in Jesus Christ one moment, at one second in your life, and guess what? God said, okay, you're acceptable. Now, you believed in the one that died for your sins on the cross, and at that moment, you became acceptable in the plan of God. Why? Because he made you that way. You weren't acceptable before that point because we're just a sinner born into the world. But after that point, God said, what? I'm going to give you my perfect righteousness. And I'm going to allow you to worship in a way that is meaningful in your life. And that's a huge deal, right? Because there's a lot of things we can do. There's a lot of things we can do. We can go to church. We can give money to the church. We can volunteer in the church. We can wear some kind of, you know, costume in the church. We can show up on time. We can be a good person. We can be a moral person. All these things that we can do. But guess what? None of those are acceptable to God unless you have God's righteousness in you. You've got to be acceptable before you get to the point of being able to worship God in an acceptable way. And that's what I'm trying to get to. And that's the main difference in religion versus worship or Christianity or a pure form of worshiping God. Right there. Man always has a way to stick our little fingers into God's plan and try to mess it up, right? So don't be confused. And I don't want to, every time I say that, I don't want you to get a negative picture about doing stuff in the plan of God. Doing stuff in the plan of God has a role. It has a purpose. It has a spot. But it doesn't come before the cart. It doesn't come before you're made acceptable at the point of your salvation. A lot of people get that confused. They're working towards their salvation. They're trying to earn their salvation. Guess what? Christ paid the penalty. And he said, there's nothing that you have to do to accept the penalty that he paid on your behalf, except what? Believe it. Faith. Trust in him. That's all he said. So when we take that and we say, like Cain did, say, yeah, he told me that, but I'm going to put that on the side and I'm going to do something for my salvation. Now, wait a minute. Didn't I just say you have to be acceptable to worship God in a meaningful way that's acceptable to him? In other words, you have to be saved. So what does it mean if you're working your way up to salvation? Nothing. Because we keep giving offerings that Cain was giving over and over and over and over, and they're meaningless. They're meaningless. And that could apply to multiple things, right? So, and I want you to notice something else before we move on from Cain. I wanted you to take note of the reaction. I know I briefly mentioned that. Do you remember Cain's reaction? What happened? He got very, very angry. He got really upset. Remember, once he found out that his offering was not acceptable to God, he got upset. And what that points out was, remember I said, if the Word of God doesn't mold what you believe as a Christian, well, then what is molding it? It's got to be something that's molding the way you think. If it's not the Word, if it's not truth, it's the world. It's seeping in and it's telling you how you should believe and what you should believe and how you should think. And that's where we are today, right? But what happened is Cain got very, very angry because what happened there? Because his standard wasn't coming from the Word of God. His standard wasn't coming from the Word. His standard was coming from himself. And see, when we think something is right, we're going to stand firm on that. And if you tell me it's wrong, I'm going to get angry. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about my standards versus the Word of God. We've got to bow down. We've got to submit. We've got to change. We can't put our foot in the ground and say, I'm holding firm to what I believe in because I've been doing it for this long, because this many people told me. I don't care how many people told you. If it says it in the Word, we've got to adjust. We've got to adjust. And that's an awesome thing. God has given us the freedom to, you know, live in this life and make adjustments as you move forward. Doesn't matter what happened in the past. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. God's given you today. He gives you the rest of your life, however long you have. Because why? Because he wants you to make adjustments and move in the right direction. He wants you to go in that right direction for a very specific reason. And that's an awesome thing. So don't ever discount that. So what happened was Cain's self-righteousness reacted. It reacted against God because what he thought of as a good sacrifice got shut down. Well, wait a minute. You're not going to tell me my sacrifice wasn't good. He reacted to God. But what was he reacting to? Truth. He was reacting to God's words, and he was reacting. So you can see what the what's happening on the underlying scene here is that there's a disobedience happening. There's a disregard for what God says that's happening with, I'm not going to say all, but I'll say a lot of man-made religion. There's a disregard for what the truth says, or otherwise we wouldn't have so many different religions. We wouldn't have so many different beliefs. We would have one belief, one God, one way to worship. But we don't. We've got a lot of different ones. So somebody's disregarding what the Word says. Somebody's disregarding. That's the underlying issue here. That was the underlying issue with Cain. It's the underlying issue with many, many, many denominations. I can name names. You know all the denominations, or enough of them to know which ones are biblical and which ones are not. So, reaction. That's a And there is actually a reference to Cain in Jude 1:11, where it talks about men taking the way of Cain, taking the way of Cain. And what that was referring to in that passage is they took their own way of worship. They disregarded God's way and they went to their own way. That's what the verse is referring to. Jude 1:11 is that verse. And isn't that the same thing Cain did? He took his own way. He didn't take God's way because he wanted to do his own thing. Because remember, self-righteousness says, I can do this, I got this, and I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be different, right? So what happened was Cain perverted God's desired form of worship and substituted his own. Whoa, wait, we see that today. Substitute what God desires, and most importantly, substitute grace and insert what I desire. Remember, grace is no work. Grace is no work. Starting at your salvation. Not a lot of people like that idea. Salvation is too big of an idea. There's too much that happened. You receive too much. So guess what? I got to work for it now. I'm going to throw grace out the window. I'm going to throw the freeness of salvation out the window. And I'm going to say, I got to do something for that. Do you see what I'm saying? Self-righteousness wants to earn its salvation. And that's how a lot of religions are created. They throw grace out and they say, you got to earn it. And that's a sad thing, because we see grace is something that is undeserved. Undeserved. Grace is undeserved. There is absolutely nothing you deserved or I deserve. I don't care what position you're in the church. I don't care how much you're growing. There is nothing that we deserve. But on the flip side, it's given. What do you call that? That's grace. If something is given and you don't deserve it, that's grace. That's what it is. So when we take that whole concept and we chunk it out, what are we saying? We deserve it. No, we don't. Yeah, but I lived a good life and I was a good person. I donated this kind of money. Yeah, but you didn't accept me through faith. Now I'm talking about Jesus Christ. You skipped that part because you're kind of trying to work for it. You threw out my grace. You threw out the freeness of my grace. And you said, you're better than that. Well, isn't that something else? So, and it sounds very familiar, right? We've got so many churches substituting what God says about worship and coming up with their own. That's the point where faith is removed. Faith is removed. Because now you're on a system, a man-made system of worship that isn't completely reliant on God, because I've denied His word, and maybe a little bit, I've tweaked it, faith's gone. Because now your faith is directed in something that's not true. Now your faith is directed in a man. Dangerous place to be. Dangerous place to be. And guess what else comes with all that when your faith is directed in a man? Now you got a lot of guilt. Now you got a lot of fear in the church, because maybe you're not doing something you're supposed to be doing because you're looking towards a man in your faith. A lot of things come with that that God does not give us when we put our faith in Him. At least in the sinful sense, right? We know there is a fear of God, but it's a respect. It's a respect of God. It's not a sinful fear, right? So as soon as people begin to substitute their own ideas in place of God's ideas, you end up with false teaching, you end up with false religions, and you also end up with a faithless religion. At least a faithless that's directed towards the one God that we're discussing here, right? Maybe directed in a man, maybe directed in your friends, maybe directed in yourself, directed in something other than God. So there is an implication. You can see how important it is. It keeps going back to accurately handling the Word of God. That is the importance of accurately handling the Word of God. That's my job. That's what God has assigned me to do. I take it very personal. I take it very serious. I want to accurately handle the Word of God so you can take it and I can take it and grow with it and worship in an acceptable way, in a meaningful way. So when we don't accurately handle the Word, we just saw that, it quickly goes from truth to what? Something else. It goes from truth and grace to something other than truth. Let's put it like that, because that's a little slightly different. Something other than truth, and now it's something you can earn. It's a merit-based system, and it's something you can earn, and it throws grace out. So now you have something that's called legalism. Legalism. This is where we made our way in the study to legalism. I know I've been talking a lot about religion. I've been talking about a lot about works, something you can earn, something you can't earn. And I'll start this conversation by saying there's nothing we deserve in the plan of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We can't work our way to salvation. We can't work our way to worship God. He gives us everything we need, starting at salvation and going all the way through our spiritual life. He gives us what we need to worship Him. So, but legalism says, nuh-uh, you can earn that. And that's what we're going to discuss here. So let's take a look at what legalism means. Because what we'll see is inherently attached to legalism is religion. They're in love. They're mated at the hip. So a few different definitions so you can get the full picture. This is different definitions from different plays, from different books. So one of them is, well, there's your slide you get to look at. Legalism. I didn't know what to put here. It's too much. It says excessive adherence to law or formula. Excessive adherence to law or formula. Now, you know, some of these things may sound good. You know, if I adhere to a law, that can be a good thing. But just keep listening because the truth will be revealed. Next definition says dependence on moral law rather than on personal faith. That's interesting. Do you see what's happening on that one? I can't accept Jesus Christ for personal faith because that's too easy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to earn my salvation through being a good person. Guess what? That's impossible. That's impossible. You see the problem with that? None of us are good. The scripture tells us that. Not one. Exactly what it says. It says not one. That means not one, right? So here's another definition. Overly strict or rigid adherence to the law or to a religious or moral code. In other words, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. That's not worship of God. That's not worship of God. There is a lot of moral people that are not religious at all. There's a lot of unbelievers that are very moral people, believe it or not. I have a lot of friends, very straight, good people that don't believe in Jesus Christ. So you're telling me that morality is something that is going to please God, or morality is something that's going to rise to the level of perfection and God's righteousness? Can't do it. You cannot take out the sin nature as hard as you try, as good as you try to be, and whatever. The only thing that can do that is Jesus Christ. And the only thing that can do that is to believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. Here's another definition. This is a little bit longer one. The act of putting law above gospel by establishing requirements for salvation beyond faith in Jesus Christ. Legalism reduces the broad, inclusive, and general precepts of the Bible to narrow and rigid codes, is what it does. Ultimately, it creates a system that obligates God to bless those who have proven themselves worthy. See, this is coming from a human perspective. I'm going to put God in a genie bottle, and he's going to bless me when I do something good. Why? Because you said he was. Is that real? No. Is that worship of God? No. But that's what I say. If I do something good, God's going to bless me. See how we can really get down on the deep end, because we believe this. We're convicted of this. Guess what you're going to live a life by? Of that belief. You're going to live that life of earning something or attempting to earn every one of your blessings. Kind of like a life of karma, right? So, it says, it thus tends to underestimate both the sinfulness of humanity and the holiness of God. That's exactly what it does. Legalism underestimates the total depravity of man. It underestimates. Actually, it doesn't include that in its calculations. It doesn't include the fact that we can't do anything with our sin nature except by believing in Jesus Christ. It doesn't calculate that. So, and it also underestimates the perfection of God. Nothing we can do can rise to perfection. But you have it if you believed in Jesus Christ. At least you have it in moments, right? You know, you can't get rid of that sin nature, but you can worship God in his righteousness. That's the Christian walk. That's the walk in the filling of the Holy Spirit, right? Here's another definition. You're going to know what this means. It says the conception of ethics that identifies morality with strict observance of laws and that views adherence to moral codes as defining the boundaries of a community. In other words, your spiritual life evolves around adherence to those moral codes, and if you go outside those moral codes, you're not part of the group. God doesn't think like that. He accepts all. He accepts all. He died for all people, right? It says, religious legalism focuses on obedience to laws or moral codes based on the assumption that such obedience is a means of gaining divine favor. There you go. So, that's another issue here. Here's another one. This is from your insert. Legalism is a religious system that teaches that a person can do something to earn or merit salvation or blessings from God. That makes it pretty clear. So, what jumps out at you at all these definitions? That you can actually do something without God's righteousness to become righteous. That you can actually earn God's righteousness without him giving it to you first. It's impossible. It's impossible. We can't earn perfect righteousness. You can't do it. So, the interesting part about this is if you follow the rules of morality, as good as you think you may, guess what? You can't follow them 100%. You can't do it 100%. You're going to fail in at least one. You're going to lie. You may steal. You're going to gossip. You're going to talk bad about somebody. Right? We're sinners. You can't get rid of the sin nature, so guess what? God doesn't like sin. His perfection excludes sin from having a relationship with him, except through Jesus Christ's sacrifice for those sins. You see, the entry point is the same into this worship thing. It always goes back to Christ, but it must be accepted through faith. That's the kicker here. So, no matter how good you follow the system, you can't ever follow the morality 100%. And that's the problem. That's why we can't earn or gain or receive anything by what we can do, because we can't gain perfection. We can't do it. So, for us, it takes the Spirit. Well, what we're seeing in legalism is it takes the Spirit out of the spiritual life. It takes the Spirit out of the spiritual life. Is what it does. Why? Because it has something you can do, follow, wear, say, or not do, or be, or look like. Where's the Holy Spirit in that worship? It's not there. You may think I'm a holy person if I do, say, or all these things, but God looks at the heart, right? We know that. We've got to go back to reality. Another thing you see is if you don't live up to that moral code, like I said earlier, that breeds guilt. Breeds guilt. And that's not a good place to be either. And then you always have someone trying to hold you to that self-righteous code of morality other than yourself. So now you got people that are looking at your life from a self-righteous view because they want you to conform to their standards of what they think you should, how you should live. Which the only standard we have to live by is the word, the truth. Not what I say, not what you say, it's what God says. But see, that's what you get when you got legalism. You know, you got people saying, hey, did I see you pull into that liquor store the other day? I think I saw you walk in that door. I don't think you should be doing that, right? That's what we're talking about. I'm serious. Y'all think it's, I'm being serious. You got people that are, you know, fruit inspecting. That's part of that fruit inspection happening. So remember, Romans 11:6 is a good part because what we've been talking about is if you know anything about grace, it can only work in an environment of faith. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. We cancel grace out when we say we can earn it. God wants to give it to you. Your sin nature says, I don't want it for free. I want to earn it because I'm self-righteous. That's what our sin nature inherently says. Every single one of us. Just because you've been being taught the truth doesn't mean that you still don't think that. That's part of your sin nature. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. They cancel each other out, is what this verse is saying. Now get this, grace is undeserved favor from God, whereas religion or legalism is assumed deserved favor from God. See the difference? It changes about what God can do and give and do in your life to what you can do for God. What can you do in your life? Are you doing it right? Well, you better be because I'm going to be coming check. I'm coming around checking, right? See, it flips it. No longer God as the ultimate standard. It's all of a sudden my standard. So this is from the bulletin. Religion is any system in which man, by his own efforts, tries to earn the approval of God. I think we've heard that. Sounds like legalism. I could actually substitute the word legalism in that verse and it would be accurate. And if you're not keeping up, that's okay. This is all recorded. And you can put it in slow-mo, or you can actually speed it up if you like. That's one of the beauties of YouTube. You can actually speed things up if you're, you know, low on time. You got to listen to something, just speed him up. Sometimes it gets a little too fast. You have to be able to process the stuff, but, you know, 1.5, maybe 2, depending on your time. But what I wanted to say is I've already emphasized this, and I'll say it again. There is absolutely nothing we can do to please God for the simple reason that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why there's nothing we can do to please God. Nothing at all. And that's based off Romans 3:23. That's our inherited position in Adam. What does it say? In Adam, all die. Death. That's spiritual death and physical death. That came from the spiritual death. So there's nothing within ourselves that can overcome sin. Listen to this. Be saved from sin. Be forgiven of sin. all you can do is commit sin. Notice that all those things that I mentioned come from grace. But you can work for those things. You can work to be saved from sin. You can try to be forgiven by being a good person, by saying, I'll never do it again, or whatever you come up with. But guess what? None of it works. Because God has to be the one that saves from sin. God has to be the one that forgives from sin, which He does both of those. All we do is commit sin. God does the rest. But he includes us, right? He allows us to come into this big scene. But that's the theological reality of what we're dealing with legalism, religion, and pure, unadulterated worship and a relationship with God. I don't want you to get confused on that. And someone who is very, very religious might be asking, well, what's wrong with being moral? What's wrong with following a strict code? Well, there's nothing wrong with following a strict code and being moral as long as you put the truth first. Put God first. Check your traditions and your values and your creeds and your confessions against the Word of God. That's where we need to be. We don't need to make these things rise above. Check your doctrinal statement with the Word of God. There's no man-made doctrinal statement that rises above what the Word says. I don't care who wrote it. It's still written by a man. It's still put together by a man, even ours. Check it. We got to check it. We have to know that it aligns with Scripture. And if it's wrong, maybe we should change our beliefs. If it doesn't align with Scripture, maybe we should adjust, right? And that's the major difference in biblical worship of God and religion. And notice that the sin nature is the culprit behind this. The sin nature is the culprit behind having a desire, wanting, which we all have. You know, there's something in us that doesn't like grace. It just, that's the way it is. Your sin nature does not like grace. You really like it, but you don't like it. You really want it, but you don't want it. It's better. It's free. And free is good. Everybody likes free, right? You say nothing's free. Well, in a way, that's correct. Because Jesus Christ paid that penalty on the cross. But it is free to you. I mean, what can't you like about that? But the sin nature doesn't like that. It doesn't like it. So the sin nature likes to replace truth with its own ideas of what it desires, right? And that's why there is not one place in the Bible where religion is presented in a good and positive light, right there. It's just not. And I wish I could show you a major denomination today that we deal with, that we know, and teach it from a biblical perspective, but none of them exist. There's not one in the Bible that existed back then. Why? Because they're all new. They're all after the Bible. They're all after Jesus Christ. They're all after all these things. We do have some in Judaism, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. We've got some religions we can look at. And that's what I want to look at because they're exactly the same as we see today. There's no difference between the religion in the Bible and religion today. There's, don't get me wrong, hold on before you get mad. There's different, there's different flavors, you know that. But there's also different degrees. Some are a little lighter on the legalism than others. But at the end of the day, what does it matter if it's a little or a lot? It doesn't. It's still something, right? You're still doing something. So what I would like to do, not today, but I'd like to look at some of these religions that we do have in the Bible and see how they worked, you know, the scenarios. And you know, Paul is a big player in this. Paul was involved with religion, actually a very prestigious, well-known, holy thou art religion that he was involved with. And he gives us insight into these religions because he came out of the religion. He discovered grace that wasn't there when he was in the religion. And that's very insightful, because you know what? If you've been involved in religion all your life, some of the stuff I'm saying, you know, this guy's nuts. What the heck is he talking about? And I get that. I understand that. But the Word of God is the Word of God. We've got to take it for what it is. We've got to learn it, and we've got to change our values and our beliefs that go in accordance with it. So with that being said, when we come back next time, we will look at some of Scripture, some of Paul's life, some of the other doctrines that they believed that were problems within the church and that caused problems. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the Word. Thank you for the ability to see that there is truth that needs to be applied in this world. There's truth that needs to be spoken about. There's truth that needs to get out into the world and change the world. And we just pray that we can be a part of that. We pray that we can come into the reality of what your desire is for us. And most importantly, we just pray that people be saved. We need them to know that there's nothing they can do or say or work for to be saved. And it doesn't matter what they did in their past. The reality is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That's the reality. And what needs to happen is what you tell us should happen is that they simply accept it. Just believe it. That's the easiest thing that I could think of we could ever do, is just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. We're so grateful and thankful for that, and we pray that we can go this week and the remainder of our lives and just continue to learn and grow and glorify you. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.